Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and it's time for a week 14 edition of No Huddle Offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
We start things off in Orchard Park, where the Buffalo Bills got a 20-12 victory up against the Jets, Jets. And it was Josh Allen on a 5-yard touchdown run to make it 14-7 in the third quarter. Let's listen up to John Murphy on Bills Radio.
First and goal at the 5-yard line. Takes the snap. And Josh, and he gives it to, no, Josh keeps it himself, and he drives forward, and he is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen faked the handoff and ran forward for the 5-yard touchdown run.
And on the play, Deion Dawkins with a big block of John Franklin Myers as he was pulling, as the Buffalo Bills win 20-12. Josh Allen, 16-27, 147 yards, 47 rushing yards, and 2 total touchdowns. Mike White in the contest, 27 of 44 for 268 yards. And he was in and out of the game with injuries, had to go to the hospital afterwards for precautionary reasons. Hickey, Mike White had a gutsy performance. With that being said, though, the Jets have to now start making Zach Wilson active. I'm not saying you play Zach Wilson over Mike White. Mike White should still be the starter and look at the way that the teams responded to him. But if Mike White does get hurt, even though Zach Wilson's not this good quarterback, I'd rather see Zach Wilson than the way past the prime version of one Joe Flacco, who's not elite anymore.
Yeah, some could argue never was, but you are definitely right about that now. I'm
hey,
with you.
Super Bowl MVP.
He has that to his name.
Bengals and Browns heading into this game in the young career of Joe Burrow. He's never had a victory against the Cleveland Browns. That changed yesterday, even when losing Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins in the game. But Joe Burrow had a 45-yard touchdown pass to Trenton Irwin to make it 20-3 in the third quarter. Let's listen up to Dan Horde and Dave Lapham, the sound effects probably of Dave Lapham on the Bengals radio network.
Burrow catches a high snap. Now it's a flea flicker.
Got him.
Going to throw it deep.
Got him.
He's got a man open.
Woo!
Over the shoulder catch. Trenton Irwin at the 6. Touchdown!
Baby.
Bengals, the flea flicker executed to perfection.
The flea flicker is back, and that's the first win for Burrow up against the Browns in his career. Previously 0-4, Burrow 18 of 33 for 239 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Ja'Marr Chase, 10 catches for a 119 and a receiving touchdown, which, by the way, the ball placement of Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, who was in double coverage, how he was able to thread that needle was probably the best throw that I saw this past weekend. On the other end, Deshaun Watson, 26 of 42, 276 yards, a touchdown and a pick. At least they got in the end zone. I know last week they had the victory up against the Texans, but that was 2 defensive touchdowns, then a punt return by Donovan Peoples-Jones for a score. Cowboys and Texans. Ugly, ugly, ugly performance by Dallas. Dallas, though, wins the game, even though they were a 17.5-point favorite. They just win 27-23 by the hair of their skinny teeth, as one Al Michaels would say. Here is Ezekiel Elliott, a touchdown run to make it 27-23 with just 41 seconds left in the game. Listen up to the Cowboys Radio Network.
In the gun, Prescott, snap back, handoff, Elliott driving, pushing, touchdown! Ezekiel Elliott, head for the kettle. No, fakes the kettle. Says, I'm not getting the fine. I'm just taking the touchdown.
Dak Prescott in the game, 24-39 for 284 yards, a touchdown and two picks. And by the way, I didn't know Chris Moore, the former CBS Sports radio host, is now a receiver for the Houston Texans. 10 receptions, 124 yards. I haven't heard from Chris Moore in a while.
I guess that's why.
Other than when he's trolling you on Twitter.
Well, I thought he was spending all his time training. I guess, you know, almost all of it. Those legs look spry for Chris Moore.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Usually he's just limping around this office yelling at people. Now he's able to turn on the Jets of the NFL. What a bounce back career by Chris Moore. Comeback radio host of the year.
Forget Vince Papale. This is a true underdog story.
Lions and Vikings. A lot of us went into this game saying, Lions are two and a half point favorite. Is that disrespect to Minnesota? No. I don't think Vegas showed enough respect to the Lions as the Lions win 34-23. DJ Chark, 48-yard touchdown reception to make it 14-7 in the second quarter. And then we're going to play you Penei Sewell's 9-yard reception on third down. Yes, you heard that right. Tackle eligible to ice the game by Dan Miller on Lions Radio in just a second. But how about the cojones, Hickey, on Dan Campbell? Backed up in his own end at his 28-yard line, runs a fake punt that goes for 40-something yards, and then trying to just get the game to be over with, they throw the ball to Penei Sewell. I don't know if there's anything better than a fake punt backed up in your own end and then a fat guy catching the football and staying in bounds with a little leap to basically go seal the victory. That was awesome.
You talk about, as some people say, the cajones, to call that
Ross Tucker
in motion, in the flag, game on the line. That was incredible.
Let's listen up. This is the Lions Radio Network.
First down from the Minnesota 48. Goff to throw. Back, looking, lofting, deep left side. Got a man out there. Caught at the 10. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. DJ Chark. Oh, baby, how's that for a bolt of lightning? In motion is Sewell. Goff to throw. Wants to throw it to Sewell. Oh, he caught it. Penei Sewell on a first down. Oh, yes. The big man dives down to the 31-yard line. Oh, that is beautiful.
Lions have won 5 out of 6 games. They're now 6-7 and very much so alive for a playoff push. And Hickey, I'm looking ahead. This weekend, Lions at the Jets. Tell me, is there a better matchup on paper than the Lions offense against the Jets defense? I'm really excited for that matchup.
Just like we all thought in August, by the way. This is like the one we're circling. Oh, the Lions offense, one of the best.
We thought this would be a battle for the number one overall pick.
Holy cow. Jared Goff versus like Sauce Gardner's.
The loser.
The marquee matchups.
Before the season, the loser would have been the winner.
Yeah, for real.
Jared Goff, 27-39 for 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. You heard the DJ Chark, 6 catches for 94 yards and a score. Jameson Williams got a catch, 41 yards. It was a touchdown, his first career catch. And Kirk Cousins, 31-41, 425 yards, 2 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, 11 for 223. That's a Viking franchise record for receiving yards in a game. And the Lions total 464 yards of total offense. And that's the 5th straight game Minnesota's defense has allowed 400-plus total yards. I'll say it for you. Woof. Jaguars, Titans. Jacksonville in the second half. What a performance. And how about Evan Ingram? 11 catches for 162 yards and 2 touchdowns. He made the Pro Bowl a few years ago, and I was like, how the heck did that guy make the Pro Bowl? That was a Pro Bowl type of performance yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, 30 for 42, 368 yards and 3 touchdowns. King Henry was really effective in the first half. Well, you knew he was going to have a decent game statistically because Hickey was like, oh, he's not playing that well. 17 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. But let's listen up to the Evan Ingram 21-yard snag to make it 33-14 in the third quarter. Here's Frank Frangie on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Etienne is the running back. Shotgun for Trevor Lawrence. It's a blitz. I mean, it is an all-out blitz. Trevor fires left side. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown by Evan Engram in the left corner in the end zone. Are you kidding me? The Jags have extended the lead.
We keep it moving. Doug Peterson's old team, the Philadelphia Eagles, in which he won a Super Bowl with, could be winning a Super Bowl again this year. They dismantled the Giants 48-22. Jalen Hurts, 21 of 31 for 217 yards, two passing touchdowns, also added 77 yards on the ground, and a rushing touchdown. Hickey, Jalen Hurts is now the odds-on favorite to win the MVP.
He's taking on Patrick Mahomes. I still would give it to Mahomes right now. That's
why? Let me ask you that. Why?
I think he's doing more with less. Hurts got help with getting A.J. Brown. You took one of the best receivers away from Patrick Mahomes, and he's still lighting it up.
So it's funny. I had the same conversation with Jody Mack the other day, and Jody asked that question because there are some stats that suggest that right now Jalen Hurts is having a better season than Mahomes. And I said what people are going to say to you is that, and this makes it look like it's a shot at Jalen Hurts, but this is just the explanation. What you're going to say is, oh, he has all these weapons, where you look at Patrick Mahomes outside of Travis Kelce, he doesn't have much, and he loses Tyreek Hill. You know what? I feel like for Mahomes to win the MVP, he needs to have everything else go right. Like, right, there's quarterbacks where for them to win the award, it feels like they have to be the number one overall seed, and I don't know if Kansas City is going to be the number one overall seed. So right now, I would say it's Jalen Hurts. But, man, if it goes to Patrick Mahomes, I can't really be irate about it.
If they're 14-3 and the number two seed, like.
But if the Eagles only have one loss.
Look at what's taken away. Tough to penalize. It's two-man award, two-man race. Tough to penalize. I would say Mahomes, right?
Miles Sanders, 17 carries, 144 yards, and two touchdowns. A.J. Brown, four catches for 74 yards and a score. Eagles are the first team to clinch a playoff spot. And let's listen up to Skinny Batman, as they call him. Devontae Smith, a 41-yard touchdown snag to make it 14-0 in the second quarter. Here is Merrill Reese on the Eagles Radio Network.
Hurts back again. He's floating it for Devontae Smith, who makes the catch. The Giants miss, and he walks into the end zone.
Oh, my
the Giants
goodness.
Gambled, and Hurts went 41 yards for the touchdown, beating Darnay Holmes.
Isn't that really disrespectful, Hickey? It shows that you have no respect for the defense when on fourth down and long, you just toss up a bomb there.
And you know what? They got worked. Paid right, because I was going to say the Giants should have made a play and didn't. That was ugly.
Ravens and Steelers, welcome back. J.K. Dobbins, 15 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. Two plays on this drive. One was a 40-plus yard run. The other one was a 4-yard touchdown run to make it 10-0 in the first quarter. Let's listen up to Jerry with a G, Jerry Sandusky, on the Ravens Radio Network.
First and goal, Ravens from the Steeler 4. Dobbins to the right side, double, pumps, lunges, touchdown, Ravens! J.K. Dobbins just willing his way through a traffic jam of Steelers, and the Ravens on back-to-back running plays extend their lead.
So we went into this game knowing Lamar Jackson wasn't going to play. Then in the third quarter, Tyler Huntley, who was 8-12 for 88 yards, left the game with a concussion. And Anthony Brown, the former Oregon quarterback, got into the game. Which, in a weird way, Hickey, you probably got excited for seeing Anthony Brown being the college football junkie that you are.
I'll be completely honest. I thought that's a sight we would never see.
Yeah.
I thought his last game in Oregon was the last time we see him actually in a uniform on the field.
And on the other side, you had Kenny Pickett unfortunately leave the game with a concussion. And then Mitch Trubisky comes in. And you know what? Isn't that the most Mitch Trubisky performance ever? Because if I told you Mitch Trubisky was 22 of 30 for 276 yards, you're like, oh, yeah, he played well. He was able to move the ball, but then he threw three interceptions. He cost them the game. There's no other way around it. Ravens win 16-14. Next up, Chiefs and Broncos. This game was 27-0, if I'm not mistaken. And the final score was 34-28. Unfortunately, Russell Wilson got hurt and did leave this game as well. But this was embarrassing that this ended up being a game. And Jerry Jeudy probably should have got ejected. He made contact with the official. I know he had three touchdown receptions in this game. You look at Russell Wilson, he was 23 of 36 for 247 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. Did leave the game in the fourth quarter with a concussion. 28 points are a season high for the Broncos this year. But the story for the Chiefs, Jerick McKinnon, 133 yards of total offense, cleared 100 receiving yards in the game and two touchdowns. Mahomes, 28 of 42, 352 yards, three touchdowns, also had three interceptions. Let's listen up to Patrick Mahomes flipping the ball to Jerick McKinnon, and that's the only way you could describe it, which ended up going for 56 yards to the house for a score to make it 13-0 in the second quarter. Here's Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Third and two at their own 44. Mahomes being pressured, moves to his right. They're coming from behind him. Now flings it, slings it to McKinnon at the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! Batman loves this stadium. It was an underhanded shovel at the right boundary for a 56-yard touchdown. They were all over him. And he just slings it under his hip to McKinnon for a 56-yard touchdown.
Hickey, just to further look at these numbers, Jalen Hurts, 3,157 passing yards this year. Mahomes, 4,160. Jalen Hurts, 22 passing touchdowns. Mahomes, 33 passing touchdowns. Interceptions, three interceptions for Jalen Hurts, 11 for Patrick Mahomes. And then I have to give you the rushing totals, too. Patrick Mahomes, when it comes to rushing the football, he has 47 attempts this year for 280 yards and two scores. Jalen Hurts rushing the football in 13 games, 139 attempts, 686 yards, and then has 10 rushing touchdowns as well. This could be a close race, really close race to MVP, because people are going to look at, oh, only 22 passing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. You then add the 10 rushing scores. So that is a total of 32 total touchdowns. And for Mahomes, it's 33 passing touchdowns. And then he does
two rushing,
have two rushing. So that's 35. Interceptions may be the difference here. Could be the case. I'm just saying, could be the case when you're looking at it statistically.
If we are breaking this down to interception totals, that's not a voting
I'm just saying, you
barometer
have to,
I would make.
You have to look at it in terms of the stats, and that's one big glaring difference here.
Like, we also look at who you're throwing to. I think yesterday's a perfect example. Look who's scoring touchdowns to the Eagles versus look who's scoring touchdowns to the Chiefs.
Yeah, but that's then taking it away that Jalen Hurts has done nothing then this year.
No, I'm just saying the help around Jalen Hurts, I think, is not, you know, really arguable. It's way better than what Patrick Mahomes has.
Does Mahomes have Travis Kelce?
He does. You have Devontae Smith, you have A.J. Brown, you have Miles Sanders when he comes back, Dallas Goedert. Like,
you got Juju Smith-Schuster there for the Chiefs? Not like he's a bum.
He's not very good. Marquez Valdez Scantling.
We're talking about him being a
McKinnon.
One and two.
Like, we're talking about guys off the scrap heap, basically. That's what they've accumulated in Kansas City.
49ers and Buccaneers. I love how you're making it out to be that Mahomes has no one. 49ers and Buccaneers. Brock Purdy, a 32-yard touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk to make it 28-0 right before halftime. Here's Greg Poppin and Tim Ryan on the 49ers Radio Network.
Purdy back. Time. Pumps, now going to throw for the end zone, wide open, Brandon Ayuk, touchdown, San Francisco, Ayuk
is on fire.
Wow. Now hold on, Hickey. We've heard the sounds of Scott Zolak. We have heard the sounds of Dave Lapham. That combination of Greg Poppin and Tim Ryan, Ayuk is on fire. That could be the best play-by-play call in the NFL.
The call itself is tremendous.
It's great.
They were in sync.
And it's so much better than touchdown, San Francisco.
You don't like that one? Oh, I love that. Man. You combo that with the Ayuk is on fire. I mean,
The Ayuk is on fire.
For one guy scoring a touchdown, there may not be a better individual.
That's
call.
The gold standard. Brock Purdy in the game, 16-21 for 185 yards, three total touchdowns. First QB to ever beat Tom Brady in his first career start. McCaffrey runs CMC, 119 yards, 34 receiving yards, and two total yards. 119 rushing yards, 34 receiving yards, and two total touchdowns. Tom Brady, 34-55, 253 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Deebo Samuel did leave the game with an injury, and it looked like he could have been lost for the year. Now the 49ers sprain MCL, sprain ankle. They're saying they're expecting him to at least come back before the end of the season. Only 4 weeks left. Okay, keep it moving. Panthers 4-4 under their interim coach in Steve Wilks. They beat the Seahawks 30-24. Raheem Blackshear, an 8-yard touchdown to make it 27-17 in the fourth quarter. Listen up to the Panthers Radio Network.
Darnold in the shotgun. There goes Chenault behind the QB. The snap, the give to Blackshear. Protects the ball. Yep. He's got the 5. Touchdown, Raheem Blackshear.
Sam Darnold, 14-24, 120 yards and a score. Chuba Hubbard, 14 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. Panthers as a team did rush for 223 yards. Geno Smith, 21-36 for 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And at 5-8, Carolina's just one game back from first place in the NFC South. And if they win out, they would be the NFC South champs. How would that? Finally, Chargers and Dolphins. So much for that social media quarterback, Emmanuel Acho. And Drew Tranquil from the Chargers is going to join us coming up at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. Justin Herbert was phenomenal. 39 of 51 for 367 yards and a touchdown. 39 completions are a career high. And Elias Sports says that Sunday was Herbert's 10th career game of 300-plus passing yards and 0 interceptions, the most in NFL history before turning 25. And Mike Williams, 6 for a buck 15 and a score. Keenan Allen, 12 for 92 yards. Tua Tagovailoa, on the other hand, 10 of 28 for 145 yards and a touchdown. Let's listen up to Mike Williams get a 10-yard touchdown reception to make it 10-0 in the second quarter. Here is Matt Money Smith on the Chargers Radio Network.
Herbert fakes the handoff to Kelly, rolls to his right. All kinds of green in front of him, throws to the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Chargers! Mike Williams, 10 yards from Herbert for the 18th time in their careers.
And that is your Week 14 edition of No Huddle Offense. You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hi, right, thank you very much. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure there's been worse Monday night football games this past year, Hickey, but there is no buzz, and this comes from a Patriot fan, there is no buzz, no juice, no energy about Cardinals and Patriots. Because you look at the Cardinals, they've just been a disaster this entire season. They're not going to make the playoffs. And this game means more for the Patriots because they still have a chance to make the postseason. And if they win tonight, after 14 weeks, they would be the seventh seed with the way that the record's going to shake on out and the tiebreakers and all that. But right now, like, I look at the Patriots, other than making the playoffs as a potential wild card team, there's nowhere else, nothing else that you could actually expect out of this team. And the frustrating part is, like, I would think in one breath, Bill Belichick, who's struggled this year against mobile quarterbacks, would be able to confuse Kyler Murray. But in the next breath, it's like, I don't know what to expect out of Matt Patricia on the offensive side of the ball, because 2 weeks ago against the Vikings, he aired that sucker out and Mac Jones played his best game. And then against the Bills, you saw Mac Jones is screaming on the sideline, like, enough of the quick passes. Let's air the ball out. So without knowing what to trust or expect from Matt Patricia, it gives me, I have no feel in this game. Like, if I had to lean one way or another, I think I would go with Arizona in the game tonight. In an ugly, sloppy game that Kyler Murray wins. But can I tell you I have a lot of confidence in that prediction? Absolutely not. This game, there's not, if you are a neutral football fan, unless, well, then you're no longer neutral, you're betting on it. There's really no reason to watch this game tonight.
And I don't know anyone that can actually be confident in either team winning. Like you said, you're, you know, torn either way. Like,
well, the line has moved, by the way. The line was 1 earlier in the week, and now
for the Patriots,
it's
right?
2.5, yeah.
For the Patriots?
Yes.
Interesting.
So that means money's going on the Patriots.
And some confidence there in New England. But you're right, like, I think the Cardinals have more, you know, explosive talent, obviously, especially in offense. You would think, okay, in an era where offense kind of rules, you should be able to outscore this offense of New England led by Matt Patricia. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury stinks. This offense is like fighting with each other.
Like, that's the one thing. The Cardinals are dysfunctional.
They are.
The Patriots, with the lack of talent that they have, and they made a dysfunctional move this year, bringing in Patricia and Joe Judge to run that offense. But for them to be at 6-6, for a roster that's not good, like, I'm not throwing participation trophies around, but I wouldn't say that the Patriots, even though they made a dysfunctional decision on the offensive side of the ball, or an organization that you look at this year and is like, wow, it's a dysfunctional organization. They made a dysfunctional move. I would not call them a dysfunctional organization, if that makes sense, Hickey.
Well, we might next year if they decide to bring back Matt Patricia.
If Patricia's the offensive coordinator next year, we're going to have some serious problems. That's when I may start to lose a little patience with my good pal Bill Belichick. Anyway, the Detroit Lions. Is there a more feel-good story down the stretch, Hickey, in the NFL for the last month of the season, the last 4 weeks, than the Detroit Lions? Like, I know Dan Campbell at times it could be overplay and sometimes it could be insufferable, but that's a passionate coach. They started the season in just terrible fashion. They've won 5 out of their last 6 games. And you look at the Lions sitting at 6-7. I brought this up to you last week. And you're like, oh, they'll probably fall short. But they beat Minnesota yesterday. They're now 6-7. And their last 4 games, it's the Jets, it's the Panthers, it's the Bears, and it's Green Bay. Like, none of those games you look at, and I'm not saying you're going to win them all, but none of those games you look at and say, oh, we can't win a game down the stretch. This Lions team, there's excitement in December. And if you're a Lions fan, that's all you could ask for. Because when was the last time that you could be excited in December? It's been a while because you have to go through that Bozo and Matt Patricia. But this is a team that I look at that schedule, Jets, Panthers, Bears, and Green Bay. I could see them winning 3 out of 4 games down the stretch. I could see them finishing the year 8-9, and maybe, or 9-8. I could see them finishing 9-8. Taking 3 out of 4, I'll talk myself into that.
And it's not hyperbolic to sit here and say the Lions could be a 10-win team.
They could win out!
Which is insane.
Pop champagne, have Dan Campbell drink 9,000 cups of coffee, bite off some kneecaps, run a fake punt inside his own 30-yard line, and then do a tackle eligible to a fat guy in Penei Sewell? There's nothing like that.
And he might steal the Coach of the Year award right away from Brian Daboll.
You know what? I haven't thought about putting Campbell in Coach of the Year. But if the Lions make the playoffs, you got to make the playoffs to win Coach of the Year. But if the Lions make the playoffs, he'll win the award. Now, if the Lions make the playoffs, you're probably factored into the Giants end up getting squeezed out of the playoff conversation. Coach of the Year right now, who are the candidates?
Daboll?
You look around, I'm just going division by division. No one in the NFC West. NFC North, O'Connell.
I'll say Dan Campbell's in the mix.
Dan Campbell.
I mean, Nick Sirianni has to be in the mix.
Yeah. Oh, Sirianni.
The Eagles have played.
Sure. Sirianni. No one in the NFC South. Well, what happens if Steve Wilkes makes the playoffs? I don't think they would give it to him, but, you know, just talking about people that could be in the conversation.
I think in the mix, absolutely.
And kind of Vrabel. I don't think Mike Vrabel will win it because that team, they'll win 9-10 games and they'll win.
Limping into the playoffs is not going to really get you, especially when you've made the playoffs already.
Marco, right now, if you had to give me coach of the year, who do you think wins coach of the year?
Probably O'Connell.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't forget Robert Saleh. I would throw him into that mix as well.
Oh, Saleh's a good. And you know what? What about Ron Rivera? If the Commanders end up making the playoffs, that team was dead. And they go to Taylor Ham Heineke. So those are just some of the Pete Carroll.
Mike McDaniel. They got 11
McDaniel.
Wins.
Yeah.
It's a great race this year.
You know what's weird? It is a great race, but a lot of guys that we were talking about, and maybe it's just because of the product of the weekend, like Brian Daboll's been phenomenal this year.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 weeks haven't gone his way. Last few weeks haven't gone his way. Mike McDaniel, we're going to find out a lot more about him down the stretch after being really impressive because his team got blown out the last 2 weeks. I know we're praising the Lions, but Kevin O'Connell just lost to the Detroit Lions. So it's a kind of a weird week to have that conversation. And I think it would be, you'd probably have a greater sense if you didn't have those three candidates go down last week. I hate to keep it week to week, but that's just the way it works.
That's definitely part of it. And I think it depends on, you kind of said it before, who makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're looking at the last couple of spots. There's basically
the NFC, the last couple of spots.
There's four teams there for two spots.
Commanders, Giants, Seahawks, and Lions.
Right. And to be honest, that Commander-Giant tie is going to really hurt the Seahawks and the Lions.
Yeah.
It's really going to hurt both of them. Mm-hmm. Because the Lions basically have to win out. Because if they get to 9 wins, they'll be 9-8. The idea that Washington and the Giants can't finish 9-7-1, it's going to squeeze them out.
Well, that extra spot could loom large.
It's going to squeeze them out. That tie is going to be such a difficult hurdle. The Seahawks hurt themselves bad with that loss to the Panthers because now they got a rough stretch down the way. And again, they're going to have to worry about that tie. So every one of those teams is going to have to get to 10 wins because all the Giants or Washington have to do is to get to 9.
I'll ask you this right now. If you had to give me the two teams to get into those five, because we'll all agree, the Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, Vikings, and then whoever is your NFC South representative.
The Bucks by default, Tampa. Right.
Yeah, so those are your five teams in. Between the Lions, the Seahawks, the Commanders, and the Giants, who are your final two spots?
Without
the team I feel most confident about is the Commanders.
Without knowing exactly what the schedule is remaining for all four of them, I would say Washington and the Giants. Just because, again, that tie.
Because of the tie.
It's going to wind, again, because you're going to have whoever wins that game Sunday night is going to have the leg up, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
That's basically what it comes down to. That's a playoff game.
You need one more win, pretty
much. Right, and then you got three games to get one more W. Yeah. Even the loser, if they can have a stretch, like I can see the Giants. They got the Vikings, I know, off the top of my head. They still have the Colts, and they still have the Eagles. Now, you would say, well, the Eagles, that's impossible. In Philly, last game of the season,
not gonna play
Eagles
anyone.
Wouldn't shock me if they play no one. So the Giants could get in, back their way in, even if they lose to Washington, by beating the Colts and by beating the Eagles.
Let's just assume the Commanders win, just for the sake of this argument.
Okay.
So the Giants schedule, like you were talking about, it's the Commanders, so let's say they lose that game, then it's the Vikings, the Colts, and the Eagles, as you just said. Now, the Seahawks schedule, San Francisco.
Right, on a Thursday night.
Yes, this week. Kansas City.
Right.
The Jets.
Uh-huh.
And the Rams.
They'd have to win three of those games. It's not happening.
Now, the Lions. Jets.
Right.
Panthers.
Right.
Chicago and Green Bay.
Again, I get it, but if we were going on the premise that the Giants and Washington get to 9 wins minimum, the Lions would have to win out.
And it really is unfortunate for the Lions out of anyone because they beat the Commanders and they beat the Giants.
Right.
And
Seahawks hold the tiebreak over the Giants, too. Yeah. Again, that tie is what
really
changes everything
up.
And at the time, for both Giant fans and Commander fans, you were, you know, wanted to bang your head up against the wall. Yeah. How could you blow this game? Both teams felt like they blew the game.
Let me ask you this. Do you trust the Giants, who are right now, they are, what, 7-6-1?
7-5-1.
Do you trust them to get two more wins?
Like I said, between the Washington, the Minnesota game is going to be really tough. But you got Washington, you got Minnesota, you got the Colts, and you got an Eagles team that you would imagine is playing for nothing.
I think they should be able to go 2-2.
And all you got to do. Whether it's the Washington game and the Colt game, whatever it is, you got to get to two wins.
You know what? I'm going to get crazy here. I'm going to say you're probably right that all four NFC East teams do get in.
Which is, that's unprecedented.
Yeah. I will go, especially in a year where we thought it was going to be the AFC West, right?
I mean.
I will go, the Commanders get in, and I'm going to get crazy here. Detroit, I want you to get in. pop the champagne. I'm going to the Lions as a 7 seed with Dan Campbell on Wild Card Weekend. We'll see, though.
They run the table. They're in. You get the 10 wins, you're there. That's not even a question. 9, like I said, just becomes a little bit difficult. The only thing you'd have to hope for is, and then it's definitely possible, the Giants just flail out and wind up doing nothing the rest of the way. That's definitely possible. Right now, they can't get out of their own way, so it's definitely possible.
Where are you at on Daniel Jones? Because Hickey said this to me before the start of the show. He goes, and I'm not saying that he played poorly yesterday, but a lot of he said he saw a lot of split on social media where people were like, all right, I'm done with Daniel Jones, or a lot of people were trying to puff up that performance a little bit better than what it actually was yesterday.
It was fine. Yeah. It was no better than that. It wasn't bad. They didn't lose because of Daniel Jones by any stretch of the imagination. He didn't play poorly. He didn't do anything that was spectacular either. To me, I've been saying this for a long time. Daniel Jones is a guy you can win with, but you'll never win because of. He's not the guy that's elevating you. He's not taking you to the next level. He's not a guy that's, you know.
You need Saquon to be your best player. Right, and as of late, they've lost their way a little bit when Saquon doesn't put up these great games.
Right. And again, they've had a lot of problems.
And they got injuries, no wide receivers.
And they're not helping him.
I'm not defending him. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
I think next year, if you ask me, is he still with the Giants next year? My answer is yes, I do. I think simply because of two reasons. One, the Giants thought they were probably going to be pretty bad. Go into the draft, find a new quarterback, Dable and Joe Shane, and finally our new guy. They were too good for that. Even if they don't make the playoffs, you're finishing with 8-9 wins somewhere in that area. You're in the middle of the pack. You're not finding your new quarterback in this draft. So what do?
And since you're not that close still, even though they could make the playoffs this year, unless you're getting a you-gotta-have-it type of guy, which Jimmy G to me is not that.
No.
Derek Carr is not
no.
that. I think that you bring back Jones on whether it's you bite the bullet on a franchise tag or you give him a 1-year deal and just throw him a lot.
See, I don't know if it's a franchise. I don't think it's a franchise. I think it's a marriage of convenience. I'll give you a 2 to 3 year deal. That obviously the Giants have an out after a year or two, whatever it is, because Jones's market is not going to be there.
No.
He would probably be willing to roll the dice. I got a good coaching staff. Give me some more weapons. I can make this thing work. And I think it's just a marriage of convenience where I don't think Jones loves the idea that they don't love him. But I don't think the Giants have any other better options.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do we go with the upside of maybe this works out? Or do we go down the road of paying Jimmy Garoppolo a boatload of money and we don't even know what we got? It seems silly.
It's almost like you're married to someone and after like 3 years, you're like, I don't really love that person as much. But is there anything really better out there right now where I have to get divorced tomorrow?
Like I said, it's convenience. I hate to say it. They're together just because they've been together for a while. You know, and sometimes you just stay together because, well, I don't really know anything else. We'll just stay together.
It costs a lot of money to get divorced.
There's not a ton of options.
This is like a married couple that has two kids, and they're like, oh, we'll have the third kid and just hope it solves all the problems. That's what it's like. Marco's like, oh, that's what's going to happen in a few months. I'm just kidding.
It is. You didn't know? That's why I started to laugh.
Oh, congrats, Marco.
I'm having the third in May.
Oh, are you really? For you?
Yeah, that's why I was laughing.
Marco Jr.?
No, that's not
it. Come on.
Oh, congratulations. This is the second time I found out that Marco's having a kid on this show. And I didn't know. I remember the first time was during the pandemic. I said, oh, how's your son doing?
You're
like, good. I also have another child. And I was like, congratulations.
And my daughter's screaming in the background, too.
All righty. Well, come on back. You'll hear from Justin Jackson of the Detroit Lions.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, holiday triple headers, and every post game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. And it's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Justin Jackson of the Detroit Lions joined me yesterday on Eye on Football. You can listen to Eye on Football on CBS Sports Radio each and every football Sunday in the regular season from 12 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's listen up to the Lions running back. How do you put it into perspective what this win means for the Detroit Lions?
It's huge, man. It's huge. You know, I feel like, you know, obviously for us, that we're already in the playoffs. You know, like we really going into every game. Like, we got to win each game. And we're rolling right now. We feel real confident. We come in and expecting to win these games. And I think even just that intention is very different from how it's been around here. So, you know, the whole stadium, the whole city is excited. And, you know, we're just trying to feed off that energy and, you know, keep winning.
It also shows the growth of this team, because back in week three, you guys were up 14 two different times against Minnesota and couldn't get the win. Today you're up 15 and 14 against them, and you guys were able to find a way to get the job done. Just how different is this team than the team that we saw in week three up against Minnesota?
Much different. Much different. I feel like we've grown a lot, you know, and we stuck together even when, you know, teams could have, you know, unraveled. You know, we were 1-6, but, you know, we kept coming to work every single day and just took it one game at a time, and now we're sitting at 6-7. I think we won 5 of the last 6. So just huge, you know, huge. The guys just coming in and putting their head down and going to work, you know, and that's that Detroit grit we talk about. You know, I feel like we really embody that. So it's been really fun to be a part of this squad.
Where's the belief level in your quarterback, Jared Goff? Because a lot of people doubted him 2 years ago when he got traded from the Rams to Detroit.
I mean, look, he's a Super Bowl quarterback. You don't get to the Super Bowl by accident, you know. So he's coming out, he's balling. Obviously, it took him a little bit to get – acclimated with the offense. And I think Ben, our offensive coordinator, has done a great, great job. And everyone's bought in, everybody on the team. Ben really likes to get everybody involved. And Jared is, you know, is a byproduct of that. He's really getting a bunch of different receivers, running backs, tight ends. Everybody's getting involved. So he's just doing a great job, man. He's firing on all cylinders. And, you know, we would love playing for the guy.
Justin Jackson here with us. I also love the creativity and the cojones late by Dan Campbell. That was awesome seeing the big fella Penei Sewell get the football for a first down.
Yeah, that was something like out of a movie, man. Like that was a hell of a play, a hell of a play call. You know, Ben and all the offensive staff drawing that up, and then obviously DC giving them the go ahead. And it was funny. It was funny to see, but like that's a hell of an athlete right there, Penei Sewell. So you know, we ride with him.
Also, earlier in the game, in that third quarter, 4th and 8, you don't see too many teams on their own 26 run a fake punt, but it goes for 42 yards. What were you thinking when you saw that entire thing play out?
I mean, you know, I was on the field for it, so it was wild. I mean, we practiced that for weeks and weeks and weeks. We ran it earlier this year. We take a lot of pride in special teams, man. We take a lot of pride in special teams. They kind of got us on the first kick return, so we knew we needed to come back and get them back. So that was a huge play in the game. You know, obviously big ups to DC for, you know, like you said, having a cojones to go out there and call that, and then us going out there and executing it, man. It's a hell of a play. It changed the whole game. So, you know, that's what we try and do on special teams.
So there you go. That was Justin Jackson from yesterday's Eye on Football, as the Detroit Lions do get another victory, 5 out of their last 6, as they take down the Minnesota Vikings. So the Lions, when it comes to, and you heard the effusive praise from Justin Jackson about Jared Goff, they have a very compelling decision to make, because Goff is still under contract. Right now they would have the 4th overall pick from the LA Rams. And oh yeah, by the way, they have their own first round pick, which is 15th overall right now, sitting at 6-7. I think Jared Goff's going to be the quarterback next year, unless they fall in love with CJ Stroud, because I got to think Bryce Young's going number 1 overall. Now, if Bryce Young falls, but then You got the Seahawks in at two. Bears don't need a quarterback, so maybe the Bears could go trade back and someone could move up. But I look at Detroit. They have a nice little position here where you could keep Goff for next year if you want. If you love a quarterback, you could draft him at four. And then if someone becomes available, you got two first-round picks. So you have a leg up. And we speculated, like, maybe Lamar Jackson becomes available. I don't think it's likely. But a year from now, that may be the case. Could be a little bit different. They don't get the deal done. You get two first-round picks, and you'd have to add more to that. Who knows any of the other names that could be speculated out there on the QB market as well. But right now, I would think Goff's going to be the quarterback next year. And maybe they do Goff and then draft the quarterback at four, and you still have Goff next year, and then wait a year until you go to that quarterback.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you take CBD and want to learn how to get the best results, listen up. NextEvo Naturals has developed new CBD technology that your body absorbs four times better than regular CBD oils. Most CBD oils only achieve between 2 and 10% absorption, so at least 90% of what you think you're getting is wasted. NextEvo is different. Their products are scientifically formulated to deliver more CBD in a way your body can use. It is the only brand clinically proven to deliver 30 times faster absorption in the first 30 minutes. CBD can't work unless it gets absorbed. Now it can with NextEvo Naturals. Available in easy-to-use capsules, gummies, and a unique dissolvable powder. Get smarter CBD from NextEvo Naturals. And get up to 25% off subscription orders of $40 or more at NextEvo.com with promo code SMART. That's NextEvo.com, promo code SMART.